there's definitely a possibility for people to try to game the system because there's a lot of incentive to that. But just like other sites out there, like eBay and PayPal, it's up to the SocialPix team to minimize the percentage of gaming the system as much as possible.
The internet has brought us social media. What about social investing? This is PodTech Weekly News Magazine for Saturday, January 20th, 2007. I'm Jason Lopez. Also on today's program, the PlayStation 3. Could it be a flop? Let's start with a recap of Wall Street, especially as it pertains to tech companies. The Dow and the S&P remained steady, but the NASDAQ lost more than 2% of its value this week. Of course, investors invest on what to expect. So decent earnings reports take less consideration than what the forecast looks like, and the forecast includes questions about margins at Intel, which has always enjoyed a good cost-benefit ratio on its processors. Like Intel, IBM finished the year with a strong quarter, but the world's biggest IT company gave a conservative view for 2007. And Apple's outlook was lower than expected. Not that Apple has become a market bellwether like Intel or IBM, but it seems we're all hinged on whatever Apple has to say, and the company has had a lot to say these days. People are scratching their heads over the new iPhone, which won't be put through its paces until it comes out in June for singular customers. All sorts of questions about it, though, and in the echo chamber of the blogosphere, where the goal seems to be to come up with your own negative angle on the iPhone, the deafening pronouncements have swirled together to form a sort of collective background hum. What isn't there to like about the machine? But it seems everyone agrees that it's a powerful device, at least as powerful as singular will let it be. Then there's Microsoft's Zune, which few of the tech pundits think is cool. And now with the iPhone out of the bag, the cachet of Zune has probably dropped even more. But the world's biggest software company doesn't mind playing tortoise. Microsoft announced this week it will launch its Zune service in Europe before the end of the year. Speaking of Europe, a new virus hit networks on Friday in emails stating that 230 dead as storm batters Europe. That's a quote. The storm worm carries the typical malware designed to silently steal data. Just don't open any email that looks suspicious. Google says one of the nation's largest college libraries has joined its online book project. The University of Texas will contribute more than 1 million books to the Google Books Library project. UT is strong in its collections of rare books and manuscripts from early Latin American history. Creating, sharing, and community building have made social networking sites the fastest growing content on the web. Could there be anything new to add to the mix of online social networks? Well, when you run out of things to say, money always talks, and one of the final frontiers of social networking may be what's being dubbed social investing, sharing, and collaboration sites for stock market investors. PodTech's Catherine Girardot talked with the founder and CEO of one of these still green startups called SocialPix.
There's a large percentage of investment clubs that actually outperform the S&P 500. So we believe there's enough evidence showing that when people collaborate with each other, their chances of making money in the stock market would be increased as well.
This is Catherine Girardot for the PodTech Weekly. Yahoo on Friday added a new personal finance section to Yahoo Finance, no doubt with the goal of netting more advertisers for one of the most coveted online audience groups. While Yahoo Personal Finance wasn't launched as a social media site, it seems likely, given the popularity of online community building, that sharing and networking features will show up there soon. And you don't have to be an internet giant like Yahoo to smell the money to be made by helping other people manage their money. On today's show, we'll talk with Weiting Liu, the CEO of a Silicon Valley startup called SocialPix. We'll be talking about his company and what he calls social investing. But to start with, Mr. Liu wanted to dispel all glamour from his title as CEO of his Silicon Valley startup.
I'm a Web 2.0 CEO, which means I'm CEO / front-end designer / layout designer / part-time coder and business support, which is means I answer all the emails from our customers as well. So since we are a six-person startup, even though my title is CEO, I still do all the work that other people would do.
So now we know there's very little Wei Ting Liu doesn't do all day. But why? What's SocialPix all about? Well, as Liu describes it, SocialPix is a social network for stock market investors to collaborate on research and share investment ideas with investment communities of their own choosing. SocialPix founders met while graduate students in business, finance, and engineering at Stanford. Weiting Liu joined me in the PodTech studios to talk about SocialPix, which has just launched its public beta. The SocialPix team will also be presenting at the demo conference later this month. I asked Weiting Liu to tell me more about social investing.
Previously, all of the major financial portals out there, they are strong data-driven websites with no or little collaboration platform at all.
Back in April, Liu saw a post on the Yahoo Finance website predicting Google stock would go up to $500 by the end of the year. He said at that time he had no way of assessing the credibility of that either savvy or lucky investment predictor.
The reason we decided to found SocialPix was very simple. We are casual investors ourselves. We had no idea of knowing what other more advanced investors think about certain market news or certain stocks.
I asked Weiting Liu who SocialPix sees as its target audience.
It's definitely for a mix of professional investors and amateurs like some of us. So basically how we look at this is we divide this into the group of contributors and the readers only. As for the contributors group, we fully expect it to be people who have years of experiences in doing investing and want to have a larger audience in their own personal financial blogs or for a professional managers to attract new audience and establish credibilities on our site. And as for the readers, it's simply anyone who would be interested in knowing what other fellow investors and other experienced investors think about certain stocks and certain market news.
While some other investing sites like Digstock provide tools for data sharing, collaboration, and community, Liu said SocialPix profiling algorithm uses relevancy to the user, in other words, suggesting community members whose investment profiles are most similar to yours and who you, therefore, would be likely to trust.
Another differentiating aspect of our product is our algorithm of how the experts can bubble up out of the crowd.
And describe to me briefly how that works with your algorithm.
Sure. So a person will be deemed as an expert on the SocialPix website based on several metrics. Of course, the person's own annual rate of return, the percentage accuracies of the winning picks, as well as the quality of the analysis deemed by fellow investors on the SocialPix website. We're trying to put a face behind every investment ideas out there.
Are there any privacy concerns with a site like this?
So we do have an option for people to choose the privacy level of their stock picks in the future. So it's possible that a certain group of users would only want to discuss about stocks with their own small closed community.
Charlene Lee, principal analyst with Forrester Research, is a little less bullish than Mr. Liu about the privacy pitfalls of social investing sites.
Investors who may not be as savvy could be prey to investment scams, for example.
Where there's money to be made, such as in the stock market, there are plenty of unscrupulous fraudsters standing by to take advantage of the opportunities. Weiting Liu.
There's definitely a possibility for people to try to game the system because there's a lot of incentive to that. But just like other sites out there like eBay and PayPal, it's up to the SocialPix team to minimize the percentage of gaming the system as much as possible and also to try to make sure that we put enough warning on all the small caps and penny stocks pages. We give people a warning that all these stocks will be a primary target for pump and dump schemes.
Pump and dump schemes, as defined by the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, involve the touting of a company's stock, typically microcap companies, through false and misleading statements to the marketplace. After pumping up the stock price, fraudsters can then make huge profits by flooding their cheap stock into the market. While Weiting Liu said SocialPix will most likely be free to users when it opens to the public, he did say his company's business model will be to first attract advertisers and later to charge subscription fees for access to premium services. Forrester research analyst Charlene Lee said the biggest challenge for a new social media company is building up your community.
I think more than anything else is getting people to join their social networks, to know that it's there, to come to them, try it out, and then to invest the time to make it worthwhile. Because they're always going to be challenged by people coming from all the main sites like Google and Yahoo. Yahoo just started a personal finance site. They don't have any social networking features on it yet, but I think that's just a matter of time before they have that.
For PodTech News in Palo Alto, I'm Catherine Giraudot.
This is PodTech News Weekly Magazine. I'm Jason Lopez. Sony had one of the largest booths at CES 2007 in Las Vegas. They were showing off their latest gaming console, the PlayStation 3, at the event. The PS3 was the console gamers had been waiting years for, but some say the system and its games have been a disappointment so far. Is Sony worried about that? That's what Rio Pacino asks in this report.
It has been almost 2 months since the Sony PlayStation 3 was unveiled to the masses. Since then, many have considered the PS3 launch a disappointment, with an unimpressive number of launch titles, lack of availability of the system, and glitches with the Blu-ray diodes in the system. On the other hand, Sony's competition, Nintendo and Microsoft, have been selling their Wii and Xbox 360 consoles at a rapid pace. An estimated 1.8 million Wiis have been sold since launch, and Microsoft recently announced that it sold 10.4 million 360s since its launch. But apparently, Sony isn't worried. I sat down with Sony spokesperson Sheila Bryson here at CES 2007 in Las Vegas and got her thoughts on the PS3 launch, LG's HD DVD Blu-ray combo player, and how it will affect PS3 sales, the popularity of the Wii, and Microsoft's rumored new version of the 360, codenamed Zephyr.
Now, Sheila, we talked before during the Sony launch in November over
That's
at the
right.
Metreon in San Francisco.
Actually, it's almost exactly 2 months ago.
There you go. Two-month anniversary for us.
I know. I'm sorry I didn't get you flowers, Rio.
Oh, I know. Well, you know what? I'm going to expect that next time.
Okay.
But, Sheila, we're here talking about Sony PlayStation 3. Once again, Sony has a huge booth here at CES. Now, go ahead and tell us why you guys are here and what you guys are showing off here with the PlayStation 3.
A lot of folks probably who are familiar with PS3 are going to find that there's not a whole lot of new content here, but we really just wanted to come and support the Sony family and also show off some of the PlayStation 3 games and capabilities to folks who might not have had the opportunity to get hands-on time with it.
Sheila, I noticed some of the games here that I haven't seen during Sony's launch. For instance, Lair.
Lair is here, which is an amazing game. It's beautiful. Just graphically, it's gorgeous. And
when is that game coming out?
It is coming out in spring. We don't have an actual launch date for it to announce just yet.
Now, Leia is probably one of the most anticipated titles.
It's very much anticipated, and I think one of the reasons for that is because of its incorporation of the six-axis controller. Mm-hmm. You use it to direct the dragon. It's really neat the way that it's incorporated. So,
a couple of other games I wanted to talk about that I don't see out here are Metal Gear, as well as the new Final Fantasy. Uh-huh. Do you have any updates on those games and when those games are going to be coming out?
We don't. Those are third-party titles, so we don't necessarily have inside information that we share. That's more questions for those developers.
Okay. I see Gran Turismo out there also.
We have Gran Turismo, and that was made available to the public on December 24th, kind of a little Christmas present we thought for folks. Just the downloadable version. We haven't announced yet the date. It's probably going to be end of this year for the full game itself. And we're also showing MotorStorm, which is one of my personal favorites.
I played that as well.
Yeah, and it's definitely my favorite downloadable demo. If your listeners, anyone who has a PS3, you can go to the PlayStation Store on your PS3 and download the demo for MotorStorm. So we're really excited about that title.
Sheila, you mentioned Christmas
yes,
and the holiday season. Obviously, going into it, PlayStation 3 numbers weren't quite strong in comparison to maybe the 360. and the Wii. The Wii sold almost, what, 1.8 million. At the time of those numbers, I think PlayStation 3 was at 750,000. But now you guys have updated numbers. So where are you guys at now with sales, and how do you feel about your sales so far?
We were actually, right now, we're really happy because actually yesterday we announced that we have shipped 1 million units.
Right.
So that's to North America. In terms of sales, you know, we've seen no decline in consumer demand. People want to buy these units. It isn't a matter of that units are sitting on shelves. It's that obviously that they're not available. And in terms of where we are today, having shipped 1 million units at this stage, 2 months in, Xbox 360 was actually at 600,000 units. And we're also surpassing in the two-month time frame where we were with PS1 and PS2.
Right.
So if that's any indication to success, we're feeling pretty comfortable and confident with those numbers.
Now, what are your thoughts on the Wii, the response with the Wii? I mean, it's gotten a hugely positive response for its controller. What are your thoughts on the Wii and its system?
Just the Wii in general, you know, it's definitely a product that is targeted to a different type of gamer than the PS3. PS3 has, you know, we're looking at a 10-year shelf life with this product. We're only showing really the tip of the iceberg of what it's capable of in terms of technology and game development. And the Wii, we feel like, might not have the shelf life. It might be more of a novelty gaming console than PS3 is. So we kind of feel like they're very different consoles.
Now, with the success of its controller so far, I mean, yeah, we've heard injuries and accidents
with
the controller.
Sure, yeah, but I mean, that's probably minuscule.
Right. But what I wanted to talk about was the 6-axis. Mm-hmm. Now, with the success of the Wii controller so far, the Wiimote, do you see Sony actually implementing the 6-axis with more games, considering the success of the Wiimote?
Definitely. And, you know, I think the 6-axis is new technology, and it's new for developers to consider it in incorporating it into their game development. I think we'll start to see it a lot more with games as they move forward. For example, MotorStorm, you have three options for how you manipulate the cars. You can use either the D-pad, the analog stick, or you can turn on the motion sensing. So we definitely think that people are going to be incorporating it more and more into their game development.
Well, we actually had a PlayStation 3 in our blog house. Set up a blog house in the Bellagio, and we had a whole little gaming section. We had a PlayStation
Bellagio,
3 on
it. Bellagio, excuse me.
Hey, you're more than welcome to attend the blog house.
I'll let you sleep over?
There you go. We were gaming for quite some time, and I was playing with the 6-axis, and we were playing with a number of games. I wanted to bring up the games itself because a lot of the games that have been released for the Sony PlayStation 3 so far, a lot of them are available for the 360, and there are a few exclusives, and that's why I was bringing up the Metal Gears and the Final Fantasies and the Gran Turismos, because people are just dying for those games. Mm-hmm. Are we going to see those sooner than later, or what's going on with that? Because, like you said before, no exact date has been announced for those games.
Yeah, like with our first-party titles, I can definitely be more specific. Mm-hmm. You know, with Lair, you mentioned, is one of the games that people are really looking forward to, and mm-hmm. You know, Resistance was a huge hit for us.
Right, I think that was the release PlayStation 3.
That was our big game, and the sales have reflected that as well.
Okay.
So, you know, I think, unfortunately, patience is a virtue in terms of 2007. We're definitely going to see some great titles coming out from our first-party developers and third-party developers as well. So
I think that'll be the case. I mean, the Wii with the PlayStation 3, 360 already had a year ahead, you know, on you guys. So.
Yes.
Maybe a year or two down the line, we'll see the PlayStation 3 grow with more games,
better
games, you know, more in-depth stuff for the PlayStation Store, because
definitely.
As of now,
it's pretty bare bones. We barely hit the tip of the iceberg with the possibilities in terms of the PlayStation Store. Mm-hmm. We're really interested in getting involved with user-generated content. You know, one of the titles that's coming out that'll be downloadable is Flow, and that was developed by students at USC.
Right.
And we feel like that's going to be a huge hit. I mean, I don't know if you've had a chance to take a look at it. It's just a gorgeous, like, ethereal game. It's really cool.
And they're all running in 1080p, right?
Yes.
Right. Last two questions for you.
Sure.
One, I wanted to bring up LG's announcement today here at CES of creating a HD DVD and Blu-ray drive. Plays both HD DVDs and Blu-ray CDs, or DVDs rather. I want to get your thoughts on that, because the Sony PlayStation 3, obviously, with the Blu-ray technology implemented into the system, that's probably a big selling point for the system, as well as the games.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get your thoughts on LG's announcement.
What I haven't had a chance to read up on that announcement. I'd be interested to know what the price point is on mm-hmm. that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because I think, you know, the Blu-ray disc player in a PS3 is one of the most affordable options in terms of getting HD content. So, you know, I think we're comfortable with where we are and with, you know, the adoption of Blu-ray and studios. You know, there are so many studios now who are signed on to deliver content via Blu-ray.
Mm.
So
we'll see where it goes.
We'll see how it pans out.
Exactly. Sheila, one more question.
Sure.
There have been rumors that with the Microsoft Xbox 360 that they're going to come out with a new version, the Zephyr, which includes an HDMI port built in, as well as a bigger hard drive.
Yes.
I wanted to get your thoughts on that in regards to Microsoft actually including those things into the system, and how do you think that will affect Sony sales, if in any way?
We don't really think it's going to affect our sales. I mean, I think if any, I don't myself own a 360, but I would be kind of bummed out that now in order to have the HDMI capability, I have to buy an entirely new system.
Right, and I think that's one of the questions that I have, because I'm an Xbox 360 owner as well.
Yeah.
And if they're going to come out with that, you're shunning out all those who have been committed to you for a year now.
It seems like I don't understand the strategy behind that.
Well, initially when hearing that news, I thought that maybe they were doing that in response to your system. So
I can't comment on what, I don't know what they're thinking.
Despite some of the PS3 problems, Sony did sell 1 million units since launch. It's also too early to determine whether the system will thrive or flop. Sony has a number of exclusive titles coming out, including Metal Gear, Layer, and Final Fantasy, that will likely help PS3 sales. For Podtech News, I'm Rio Pacino.
That's all for Podtech News Weekly Magazine, produced by Catherine Girardeau, Rio Pacino, and Michael Klinger. I'm Jason Lopez.